Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call of CDSL India Limited, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. Please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earning guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could not be constructed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Bagul from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bagul.
Thank you, Rujita. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to the Q4 FY 2021 call for CDSL India Limited. We sincerely hope you and your families are safe and well amidst the current pandemic. Before we begin, I would really like to congratulate the management and Nehal sir on a consistent and a strong performance in Q4 and FY 2021. From the management today, we have Mr. Nehal Vora, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sunil Alvares, Managing Director and CEO, CDSL Ventures Limited, Mr. Swaroop Kumar Gothi, VP, and Mr. Nilesh Kittur, Assistant Vice President. We'll begin with an opening remarks from the management, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Nehal sir, for your opening remarks.
I sincerely appreciate your warm welcome, Aditya. Wishing you all a very, very good morning. I hope your families and all of you are safe and secure during these unprecedented times. I welcome you all to the CDSL's conference call for the full year and the quarter ended March 31st, 2021, and I trust each one of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. I'm joined on this call from the other members of my management team who will also help me in addressing your questions. First, at the beginning of the quarter in January 2021, we had crossed a new milestone and became the first Indian depository to reach 3 crore Demat accounts, which we believe is also on the backdrop of the general growth which has been seen in the Indian securities market and the volumes which have been seen on the stock exchanges as well. As you know, the entire structure of the Indian capital market and the consumer landscape is really changing very, very rapidly. It is important to embrace the varied needs and perception of this securities market by engaging with all the participants. CDSL's efforts have been to increase not only the penetration for wider participation across India, but also empowering the self-sufficiency of the basically the market participants, which has been received with renewed kind of enthusiasm, as has been seen in the growth of the number of Demat accounts. The entire structure and ethos of the vision of CDSL is to make the investor self-sufficient or basically Atmanirbhar to ensure that there is the ease and security of the operations of the Demat accounts, and also reducing the dependency on the external sources in building a self-reliant system. I am pleased to share our financial performance for the full year and quarter ending on March 31st, 2021. Our pillars of growth remain fairness, good governance, and transparency. This also shows that the trust the entire ecosystem has on CDSL during these current unprecedented times. I would really like to thank SEBI and all the regulators, Ministry of Finance, the board of directors of CDSL, the management, the shareholders, as well as the employees of CDSL. We continue to provide an in innovate services that are easy and convenient to use, which are secure, and to ensure that it's based on the foundation of convenience, security, and safety, to ensure that more and more people use the CDSL platform to bring in the best-in-class services for our entire system. Speaking of the business update, in the financial year, the number of new active beneficiary owners accounts with CDSL has increased by about 1.23 crores, taking the total number, which is now at 3.34 crores. The comparative number in the last financial year ending was at around 38 lakhs. So there has been a significant increase in the number of DMAT accounts. The CDSL entire system or the ecosystem has been supported by our strong 592 depository participants, which offer the services across 20,500 locations. And these constitute around 97% of the PIN codes. These constitute various types, including the clearing members, banks, custodians, and non-banking financial companies. We have also initiated new services in line with the transformation and the requirements of the current times to promote a lot of the e-initiatives. This includes basically the voting services, which is now completely through an online framework in which CDSL has got a major market share. Also, we have provided a robust solution for a lot of the companies to host their annual general meeting through the video conference to make the entire process of an annual general meeting safe and secure and also very easy for the company to take it forward. We also have other value-added services to these companies, which has been very well received by one and all. So basically, before I hand over to the Chief Financial Officer to go through the financial performance, I would like to once again place on record the appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, beneficiary owners, the depository participants, issuers, regulators, as well as the employees and shareholders for their constant faith in us. Now I'll request our Chief Financial Officer, Shri Girish, to take us through the financial performance. So over to you, Girish.
Thank you, Nehal. Good morning, everyone. Speaking on our financial performance, we have seen a healthy growth during this financial year and during this quarter. Total income on a consolidated basis for the quarter ended March 31st, 2021 has increased by 51% to rupees 110.25 crore. Last year, similar income was 72.98 crores for quarter ended March 31st, 2020. In view of this, the net profit after tax on a consolidated basis for the quarter ended March 31st, 2021 has increased by rupees 23.50 crore, which is 84% compared to last quarter. And it has increased to rupees 51.64 crore from 28.14 crore during the last same quarter. The total income on a standalone basis for the quarter ended March 31st, 2021 has increased by 30.19 crore, which is 55%. And in value terms, it has increased to 84.99 crore from 54.80 crore during last quarter, same year. Net profit after tax on a standalone basis for the quarter ended March 31st, 2021 has increased by 21 crore, which is 100% increase. It has increased to 41.97 crore from 20.97 crore compared to same quarter last year. Now I will request Sri Sunil Alvarez to take us through on the update about our operation in a wholly owned subsidiary, CDSL Ventures Limited. Thank you, everyone.
Good morning. I welcome you all to this call on behalf of CDSL Ventures Limited. I am Sunil Alvarez, MD and CEO of CDSL, and I am pleased to run you through our results for the quarter ended FY21 as well as for the year ended FY21. One important thing is that though in FY21, the year has continued to be a very different place, with most of the KYC moving to an online mode, and the entire CDSL team, and for that matter, even the CDSL team, working from home. In fact, work from home has become the new business continuity side for all of us, not only in CDSL, but I think for most of the financial companies who are operating during the pandemic. Digital channels, which were the secondary channels, have now become the primary channels, or in a way have become the only channels what we have today. To take you through the financials, first I'll just run you to the volumes what we handle. So basically on the KRA front, where the new creation jumped by 36 lakhs from 65 lakhs in this year to 28 lakhs what was there in the previous year. The KYC fetches, which was 96 lakhs in the previous year, jumped to 1 crore 50 lakhs in this year. So there was a jump of almost 56% or 53 lakhs. In terms of CKYC volume, what we processed, it jumped from 11 lakhs to 13 lakhs in this financial year, which was a jump of almost 14%. So far as RTAs were concerned, we added another 233 companies in this financial year, taking the total number of companies which we service to 665. So far as the quarterly results are concerned, for the quarter ending FY 2021, the operational income jumped by 36% to 23.2 crores from 17.1 crores. And there was a drop in the other income, and the total income jumped by 19% to 24 crores from 20.7 crores.
And now,
as a result, the profit before tax was almost flat at 13.25 crores as compared to 13.2 crores in the previous year. So far as the annual results are concerned, for the year ended FY21, the operational income was up by 29% from 55 crores to 71 crores, and the other income was up marginally by 6% to 11.75 crores from 11.04 crores. The total income was 83 crores as compared to 66 crores in the previous year. The profit before tax was up by almost 40% to 51 crores as compared to 36 crores in the previous year. And finally, the profit after tax was up to 39 crores as compared to 28 crores in the previous year. With these few words, I now request Aditya, who we can have the Q&A session. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anived Portfolio Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats to the entire team for a good set of numbers. I had a couple of questions. If I look at the balance sheet, there is a CWIP of 10 crores and an intangible asset of 12.7 crores. What are these items? And secondly, on the subsidiary revenue, this quarter has seen a 62% growth. So what is it that has driven this growth? Is it new folios of mutual funds? Is it, you know, some of the other initiatives on the KRA? Is it SEBI revenues? And, you know, what are the number of client folios as of this year as compared to last?
So I'll request the first question to be answered by the CFO, Mr. Girish Amesara, and the second by Sunil Alvarez.
Okay. The capital work in progress that you mentioned is pertaining to the cybersecurity project that we are implementing, and it is likely to be implemented during this month, that is May 2021. And as on 31st March, it is carry forward as capital work in progress. With respect to intangible assets, they are all values of the software that we have bought over the period of time. I hope I have answered your question.
The cyber security project is for some new initiative, or it is a technology upgrade given that, you know, online has increased and
I think I'll just answer very quickly. So cyber security is security of the information and data remains as a topmost risk, and we want to enhance the security protocol which we currently have. And therefore, this is in sync with what really the SEBI as a regulator also has kind of prescribed, but taking the entire security protocol to the next level to ensure that, because that is going to be the topmost risk for our business. The second question could be answered by Sunil, please.
Yeah. See, so far as the KYC business is concerned, we are currently on 281 lakh records, that is 2.81 crore records. Okay. And this year we have added close to 66 lakh records as compared to about 30 lakh records added last year. So there are two sources of business for us. One is from the fetch side, and one is from the new record creation side. So far as the new record creation is concerned, it amounts to totally about 15% of the total revenue, and fetch adds up to about 85% of the revenue. So with a huge number of broking and REMAT accounts opened in this financial year, okay, we have seen a huge number of records being fetched, as well as the new number of records getting added, record number of, I would say, because almost that number is almost up by 126%. So that has basically added to the overall volume of and revenue of CPL. I hope that answers your question.
And just one more clarification. You know, you mentioned about the KYC, Aadhaar, digital being the new way of doing business, and, you know, that being a far more bigger contributor because of the pandemic. So then is a physical KYC required, or that is not mandatory?
See, when I said online KYC, it could be online KYC without Aadhaar as well. So basically somebody can do e-KYC by just uploading his documents and getting that e-signed, or, you know, submitting his signature in some way, and thereafter you do an IPV. Aadhaar-based eKYC is a different procedure altogether, where you need to register with Aadhaar and all of those things. Currently, CVL is registered with UID for Aadhaar-based eKYC, but how to register the intermediary, we are in discussion with both the SEBI and UID for that right now.
And lastly, a data keeping point, you know, if you could have the revenue breakup of key, you know, items for Q4. Transaction, annual charges, yes, IPO corporate action, SEBI profit.
Sure. I will give. We had already put up this in the investor presentation also. I will give the numbers. On a consolidated basis, the annual issuer income is at 22.06 crore for the quarter ended 31st March. You need quarterly or you need annual?
Quarterly is fine.
Okay. This consists. This is 21% of our total operating income. Transaction charge income is closed at 37 crore, which is 36% of our total operating income. Online data charges has closed at 20 crore, which is 19% of our total operating income. IPO corporate action charges has closed at 13.04 crore, which is 13% of our total operating income. Cash statement charges is around 3.33 crore, which is 3% of our total operating income. And then there are minor 1% contributor, which is user facility charges, account maintenance charges, EKYC, CKYC charges, foreign portfolio monitoring charges, inter KRA charges, document storage charges, which is totaling to roughly 6 crores. This covers the 99% of our total operating income. I hope I have answered your question.
And SEBI revenue in the subsidiary business, if we just give that for the year or quarter of the SEBI project?
SEBI project? Yeah, please go ahead.
Hey, that has just been 81 lakhs as compared to almost 9.5 crore last year. So if you take away that 9.5 crore of last year, you'll see that the CVL results have been much better compared to the previous year.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. All the best. I'll join back in that moment.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, request you to please limit your question to one per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kunal Tanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks and good morning everyone. Hope everybody is safe and congratulations to the entire team on a great set of results. I had one question for Sunil, if you can help me understand one thing. So you had mentioned, to the previous participant that the new record in the KYC business has seen a significant growth. Hence, it moved the entire business growth as well. So is this the same reason why we have seen significant increase in the cost of, cost in the subsidiary? Because what I see is that the margins have come a little bit off in this quarter. Is it because of the share of new records going higher than the fetching, or we are doing some technology upgradation there as well, which has resulted in increased cost?
See, one is the inter KRA charges. Okay, there are many intermediaries who do all their business through CVL. It's irrespective of where the KYC record is. So if the KYC record is with another intermediary, they still fetch it through CVL for matters of convenience. And since they fetch it through CVL, so whatever is the charges levied by that intermediary on us, we raise it from that intermediary and pass it on. So typically what happens is, where in a bullish market is, these number of records go up substantially. So to that extent, the inter KRA charges have increased in this quarter. I don't have the exact numbers. Maybe Girish will be able to give you the exact details. And the other increase has been on the employee benefits expenses. So these are the two major expenses which are got added in this quarter.
So this employee benefit would be a one-time rebasing thing, or this is the new base that one should work with?
Girish, can you answer this question, please?
This is not a one-time expenditure. This is ongoing expenditure. So this is a base. And with respect to inter KRA charges, it has increased by 2.6 crore, which is also showing an increase of on an income terms also.
Sure. Just one more, if I can squeeze in, was on the total number of demat accounts that if we look at, for the industry are around 5 crore now. However, if you look at the UCCs, that is, unique client codes, they are at around 1.83 crores. So can you, throw some color on what would be the active UCCs for CDSL? And, we have seen a lot more growth in the total demat accounts than the active UCCs. Does it mean that people are closing, the old accounts and opening new? So can you share some light on, how much new demat accounts, have already another demat account with some other broker and are coming to a broker which is empaneled with CDSL? Thanks.
So I think these are all, questions which are very dynamic in sense. So one is that a person can open more than one demat account. But a general sense, which I can answer without any specific details, because these are certain things which are not yet released in the public domain. But what I can give you as a general answer is that we are seeing basically a lot of new people coming and opening demat accounts. The active number of unique client codes is a function of whether they trade or not, and some of them may open a demat account to ensure that their shares are kept and safe, and whenever they find an opportunity, they will do it. So I think it's a function of various things. I don't think there is a linkage between the number of demat accounts. What we have seen is that a lot of unique first holders continue to remain, and that shows that there has been a spread of the number of demat accounts in terms of the breadth, which is a very good sign.
Sure. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Latta from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just a couple of questions from my side, sir. Sir, our transaction charges have seen a very sharp jump, both quarter-on-quarter and YOY basis, even for the full year. If you can give a breakup of this into what could have been the pledging and the depledging charges for this quarter and for the full year. And if I'm not wrong, this charges has started coming in the second half of the year. Second, sir, if you can give some color in terms of the demat charges per transaction we charge, what could be that for this year? Like, is it 5 rupee per charges average for the year, or is it lower than that?
So the first question, the answer to your first question is it's a function of various kind of initiatives. The general market has moved, especially during the national pandemic, from a physical mode to a more online demat, to more of an online mode. And CDSL has been in the foray of basically the electronic transaction or basically the instructions since 3 or 4 years. And a lot of the number of depository participants have participated are mainly feeling that basically the platform at CDSL has been simpler to use. Obviously, there are the other contributory factors like the pledge replace system or the margin pledge system. But it is finally a combination of various factors, be it the normal overall growth in the volumes in the securities market and the cash market to the pledge replace system. And it will be very difficult to point out a specific in terms of numbers as to why it has gone, but the overall number of transaction charges have gone up because of these various reasons. As regards the charges with CDSL has been done for many, many years, it's basically a slab-wise approach. So people who use the CDSL platform, the charges go down to 4.25. So it basically people who really use the platform more will get a lower charge per transfer. So the credits are free. It's only basically the debits which are charged.
Okay. And sir, on the pledge deposit charges, with the new margin norms coming up, the charges are similar to the like the demat charges on the credit transaction or on the debit transaction, sir?
The pledge repledge charges are identical across both the depositories. This has been driven by SEBI. So that way, the first creation of pledge is rupees 5, and then for the repledge, it's a rupee 1 for every repledge that has happened. And similarly, when you kind of invoke, there are certain charges. There's a variety of charges, but to answer your question on a broad basis, it's basically identical across both the depositories.
Perfect. And the last question, if I can ask. A lot of companies have moved to the AGM on the online platform. Does that charges capture in our online charges or where in the revenue line that comes in, and if you can quantify that revenue.
No, it is not part of the transaction charges. It is a separate item. I'll ask the CFO Girish to give a broad answer.
It will come as a part of the e-voting charges.
E-voting charges. And during this financial year, we have on a charge of 6.61 crore, which is 2% of our total operating income.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Auriga Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First of all, thank you for the enhanced dividend. Clearly, there is a big jump in the payout policy. So, is there a firm payout policy where which we can which you have crystallized?
Yes, we have. I've spoken in the last investor call also. Generally, we are paying around 60% of the operating profits as the payout. So, in that range of 60%.
Okay, fine. Okay, great. Thank you. And secondly, is that clearly there is a lot of emergence of fintech brokers who have come in, and there has been a significant value migration from traditional brokers to them. Most of them are working with PDSLN, which is also reflected in your increased market share. So from a technology and a people perspective, how prepared are you to really handle this big surge or in terms of volumes coming your way?
So I think PDSL has been proactive, and that's why we have been investing in both technology and people. As you've seen in the last financial year, around 1.23 crore DMAT accounts were added. And the system has been able to, system and the people have been able to handle that kind of additional load which has happened. The number of transactions have also gone up significantly. It's not only the DMAT accounts, but the number of transactions. So that also the system and the people have been able to handle. So we are very much aware of the requirements, and we are putting in place the necessary building blocks to ensure that the system and the people are able to manage the increased load, if any.
Right. And the transaction income historically has been quite cyclical. So in that perspective, should we think that this is again dependent on market forces largely?
I'm sorry, could you just repeat that question?
The transaction income.
Yeah.
Transaction income is cyclical in nature.
Yeah.
That would be largely depending on market forces in terms of the investor sentiment of buying and selling of stocks.
Yes.
Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, so it's generally connected with the market sentiment or the market participation. More than a market sentiment is the wrong word, it's a market participation. So as the number of people increase and the number of transactions increase, it is kind of dependent on that. Whether the market is bullish or bearish has no real bearing on that. It also depends on the number of IPOs which come in. So it's a basically a combination of a lot of factors. So basically, to answer your question head on, is the participation is what really drives this.
Thank you. Just on the dividend, just a follow-up, you mentioned 60% of the operating profits. So you mean
yeah.
that consolidated EBITDA post-taxes on that?
No, this is based on the standalone.
Standalone EBITDA or would be operating profit post-taxes?
Yeah, the standalone operating profits, 60% of the standalone operating profits in the range of 60% would be payout.
Great. Thank you so much. And stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of number and opportunity. Sir, I mean, you said that these 60% of the profit of standalone will be distributed as dividend. That's I understand. But over a period, if we really look, I mean, our operating profit is expected with the base increasing. There is a lot of certain recurring revenue item is there, whereas corresponding expenses do not increase. Corresponding expenses is in line with, I mean, the transaction charges and all. Is that correct, fair understanding?
No, I won't say. See, basically, CDSL is in the market infrastructure space, and in an infrastructure space, the expenses increase in kind of blocks because you have to build the infrastructure. And the transaction, the revenue is on a year-on basis or a month-on-month basis. So I think it may not be a fair, the thing to draw that the now basically the expenses have been done, so the income will just keep on increasing. As the income grows, as was the previous question, we have to build on our systems and people, and that it takes time for it to build on systems and people. So that is something which you have to continuously basically assess to ensure that the platform is seamlessly available.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Godha from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand the last quarter we disclosed that around 2 to 2.5 crores of the total, I mean, out of the total 31 crores of transaction income what we reported last quarter, around 2 to 2.5 crores came from the pledge income. So just wanted to understand what is the similar number in the current quarter, and just wanted to understand that growth what we are seeing from 31 crores to 37 crores in the fourth quarter, it can be attributed to the pledge related income because this is a full quarter where the peak margin rules got implemented. That's the first question. And the second question which I had was with respect to annual issuer income. If you can break down that entire income for the quarter and also for the full year into listed and unlisted companies, it will be useful, sir.
Okay. So the first question before I hand it over to the CFO Girish to answer from a number standpoint, from a principal standpoint, again, as I said earlier, it's a combination of market participation and margin pledge repledge is kind of deriving its volumes from the number of participants and the extent of participation in the market. As the participation grows, the transaction income and the overall margin pledge income is expected to grow. But to what extent that will translate into an income, it'll be a little difficult to predict because it depends on the transaction participation of the people during that month or quarter, which will really basically determine. It's similar to a road, you know, that how many people will use the freeway versus the expressway. That is what will drive how many transactions are flowing through the CDSL platform will really determine. And I'll now request the CFO Girish to just answer on a broad basis the part of the numbers, the question of the first question and the second question.
Sure. The income from pledge and margin pledge was 2.75 crore in last quarter compared to 2.46 crore in previous December quarter. And with respect to unlisted, the income from unlisted companies, during March quarter, the income was around 86 lakhs. And on an yearly basis, it was around 3.69 crore in the total annual issuer income. I hope I've answered the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers. So firstly, wanted to understand, is there any discussion with SEBI regarding increase in our annual issuer charges?
So again, as I mentioned, this has been a very difficult year for the people at large. It's been a national pandemic. Currently, it's not, the discussion has not yet started. This will be a joint discussion with both the depositories, with SEBI. So we will have to wait and watch as to what the situation, how it pans out, and then really take a call on that. So as of now, we haven't yet started.
Okay, okay. And secondly, like, what is the number of unlisted companies which have been dematerialized this year for the industry and for us? So what is our market share in conversion of unlisted companies?
So overall, market share ranges between 29 to 30%. It has been growing. It was much lower earlier, but it is slowly growing. I'll just ask the CFO Girish to answer how many unlisted companies we have added in this year.
In financial year 2021, we have added 1,668 unlisted companies.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was in there, sorry. Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on transaction charges. So on the transaction charges, sir, if you can provide some more color based on, you know, how the mix of transaction charges has been. How much is from...
Your voice is not very clear. Your line is...
Great. Am I clear now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. So my first question is on the transaction charges. If you can provide some more color based on how the mix of the transaction charges has been, how much is from, like new clients, say, who have joined in the last 1 year, and the old clients. And also, if you can quantify roughly what is the contribution from like non-bank in transaction volume. So I'm not asking for any number, but just in terms of direction, how it has changed like significantly over the last 1 year. And also in terms of BO accounts, we have been gaining market share. Incremental market share has been like constant around 85%. So this is due to the difference we have with the some large discount brokers. So have you seen some increased competition here as the size has increased and the BS has also increased, or we still have the exclusive type here?
I think, again, will be difficult to break up between the participant-wise the transaction income. But I'll answer your question in a broad manner, is that the general ecosystem is moving towards, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, basically the investors want to do things themselves. So they want to move away from really giving a particular broker or a particular finance company the, giving a POA. They would rather do it themselves in terms of really transferring the charges. And therefore, a lot of the new kind of the investors have been extremely extremely active in terms of the securities market, as you can see in the volumes in the stock exchanges. And that kind of links up with what is expected to be as the transactions which are occurring, because to settle those transactions, they will have to do the transactions in basically through the CDSL system. So the overall flow is really moving towards the new age fintech brokerages, as has been seen, where people are given more of the tools where people can do it themselves rather than really relying on someone else. They would like to really execute things themselves. And that has been the overall framework also in which the rulemaking has been moving towards. That you give people the tools and they should be able to do it themselves. In terms of whether the pie will increase or not, yes, India is a large country and we are just around 7 to 8% of the population has really been accessing securities market. So there is a huge potential for growth, and we will see how it pans out.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Shah from Turtle Star Portfolio Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, my question is from the
CIRL, that's our insurance repository limited. So on equity, we have clearly established ourselves. We are the market leader and we have various multiple legs of income also. So we want to get a sense on the addressable opportunity on the insurance space. Now, when we say that we have got the registration certificate from IRDAI, sir, A, what does it mean? B, how much is the addressable opportunity in the insurance space itself? C, what is the competitive landscape? So today maybe we are just 6 lakh policies, but over the next 3 years, 5 years, how much you think, where we will be, how that entire pocket will work out? So share, we are there, equity, we are there. Insurance, another leg, can that be the vertical which can be as good, or how will that pan out? If you could give us some understanding on the opportunity in CIRL.
Sure. So basically, the market infrastructure institution business, where CDSL is a market infrastructure institution, and is basically a regulated business. So a lot of our business is driven by the policies and permissions which the regulators give from time to time. And really, the insurance repository is also belonging to that same, in the same way of the business making, where really the IRDA will drive as to how much kind of opportunity will really open up. Now, as of now, as we speak, the insurance policies have not been made mandatory to be converted from a physical to a DMAT mode. So as a repository, you are permitted to move the policies from a physical mode to a DMAT mode. There are around 4 to 5 players, and till things don't become kind of made true. And that's how really SEBI also moved the securities market reforms, where it kind of mandated that the securities, the shares have to move from a physical mode to a DMAT mode. So similar kind of policy initiative will obviously help the cause, and when and where that will come, that will we have to see. It will be difficult to predict that. The second point is obviously because the national pandemic and the lack of physical policies and certificates, and also the overall saving, there is a general very gradual move of companies also wanting to opt for it. However, the clients who are opting for these policies also should be willing to kind of move if it's not made on a compulsory basis. So all these factors will kind of really show as to how this business will grow in future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhankar from Goodwill. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on 3.5 crore DMAT account.
Thank you.
Actually most of my questions have been answered. Just on the dividend, on the cash balance understanding. So now that we have so much cash and investment, we tweak our dividend policy for a higher payout, because then after, you know, because being a depository, we need, let's say, 500 crore, 600 crore, whatever amount as a base cash requirement. But post that, you know, there we are 70 to 90% payout.
So I think, as I mentioned in my earlier calls also, as an infrastructure company, there is the minimum regulatory capital which needs to be maintained.
Correct.
But the strength of business is also driven by large players looking at the strength of the cash balances of an infrastructure company. So if we have aspirations of gaining more and more players coming into us, and large players also, large, small, medium, all sizes, they will look at what is the strength, how many times the minimum regulatory capital do you have. That will show whether the company is really strong to take on that kind of work. Number one is that. And second is, there are a lot of newer kind of initiatives which have been coming, where CDSL has been announcing from time to time, from basically the IFSC, the GIFT City, where we are the only foreign depository there. A lot of work is going to kind of, is basically expected to go in the future based on the volumes which are created there. We are creating basically the infrastructure there. We are the first ones, and right now currently the only ones to be there. Also, there has been an announcement on the gold spot exchange, both at the local level as well as basically the international level. So we will need that money to also drive basically infrastructure to build these, both for the gold spot exchange out there as well as out here in the local market. So we will kind of assess it. We would rather have a very stable policy rather than having a very high payout in 1 year and low payout in the second year. Have a really a stable policy so that it ensures that there is basically predictability in terms of what that dividend is going to be. At the same time, creating the necessary financial strength of the company to grow and to basically invest into newer projects.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paresh Singhani from Club Millennium. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, Neeraj. Appreciation and gratitude to you and your entire team for the fantastic performance, and we wish you all good health.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question is largely, we have connectivity or a digital connectivity in a pipeline to, you know, to retail clients of more than 3.34 crore DMAT holders. Do we have an internal benchmark, an internal study to know how many of these 3.34 crores would have multiple securities? For instance, whether it's GSEC or whether it's mutual fund units, right, of this? Any percentage that you would have?
See, it keeps on, it's again very difficult to really come to a percentage because that keeps on changing very rapidly. Secondly is the policy is also changing very rapidly. Today, the Ministry of Finance is also keen that the government securities as all, also the other financial assets, all should move from a physical mode to a DMAT mode. What we can generally take as a rule of thumb is that once the person is kind of used to, it's like similar to having. So once again, as I was saying, is that basically today mutual funds and cash in equity is the first kind of the asset class where people go to, and they kind of build up as we go forward. Today, the DMAT account is not mandatory for mutual funds. So, but people are seeing the ease of having a DMAT account and really using it for various kinds of the other asset classes. Also, to trade, etc., for margin purposes. It becomes kind of really easier if this kind of a DMAT account is there. So, these are some of the changes which are taking place as we speak.
Yeah, Neeraj, just a follow-up on this. Is there any percentage that you would have, say, that out of 3.34 crores, you would have this many people using multiple services? For example, there are 9 or 10 crores mutual fund folios outstanding, right? How many of our DMAT account holders would actually have, say, mutual fund also, for example, along with equities in their DMAT accounts?
Difficult to predict, Paresh, because, again, there are a lot of... Okay. Changes, it's very rapidly moving. So even if a number I give you may not be really indicative of the trend which is happening. It's not like a profit and loss account. It's a photograph which you can take at one point of time. So it may not be really workable for you to even indicate that number because that keeps on changing very, very fast.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Nagodia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just one clarification on the cost structure, especially admin and other expense. So the run rate used to be around 10 to 11 crore normally, but this quarter is around 17 to 18 crores. One thing which we mentioned was inter-KRA charges of 2.5 crores, which was in excess. But other than that, you know, how should we really look at this number?
So I'll ask this therefore, Girish, to answer this.
This question that you are asking is on year-to-year basis or you need quarter-to-quarter?
Quarterly.
Okay. So salary cost has increased by 2 crore compared to last year's same quarter. Depreciation has decreased marginally because of WDV impact. Impairment of financial asset, that is debtors provision, has marginally increased, less than half a crore. Contribution to investor protection fund which is based on 5% of our operating profits. That has increased by roughly 2 crore. And CSR expenditure, which we were required to incur at the year end, that has been incurred at 2.54 crore in consolidated accounts. InterCare, I already spoke about it, and I think this covers majority of expenditure that show variation between quarter to quarter.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on an excellent set of numbers and performance during the year.
Thank you.
I think the number of DMAT accounts obviously has gone up quite well. I'm just wondering whether one should look at it in terms of a lead indicator of the potential revenues over the next 2 to 3 years. So, say for instance, when I look at annual issuer charges, a particular DMAT account may be over a period of time increasing the number of stocks it holds in the portfolio, which is what determines these charges. So, typically, how many years does a DMAT account really, you know, ramp up in terms of contributing to sales? I'm just trying to get a sense of based on your past experience.
So, again, this will not have a specific trend. Once a DMAT account is there, it normally remains in existence for a large number of years. We've had some of the DMAT accounts which have opened from the first day when CDSL has started off. And you have some people who will close the DMAT account. I think, you know, to draw an analogy, it's like if you buy a physical asset, fixed asset, and how much are you going to use that physical asset will depend on various factors, like a car. So a car sales, whether that will lead to an increase in the fuel consumption, it's normally linked to that. But now if you see the entire year where most of us have been working from home and the general demand for the fuel has gone down. So again, will be very difficult to predict in that sense. But as a general thumb rule, one would say that as the DMAT accounts grow and the general policy initiative of moving from a physical mode to a DMAT mode, today you're not able to really transact on a physical mode. It is going to steadily kind of increase because the number of stocks which are going to be listed is growing year on year. The number of transactions which are happening year on year are growing. So obviously to really settle these transactions, you will have to use a DMAT account also in higher scale. So I think that would be the broad way in which I would really think about. We are building the building blocks as having more and more people join the CDSL platform in the hope that this will kind of ensure and translate into a higher transaction.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Babu for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking the time out and attending this call today. I apologize for some of the questions which were not answered. I request you to write to me and we'll try to get back with answers as soon as possible. I'll hand over the floor to Mr. Nehal Vora. Sir, thank you so much for answering our questions. I'll hand the floor back to you for any closing remarks.
No, I think we just should stay safe and secure, and we are trying to ensure that the CDSL operations continue day on day. We would like to really solicit the support of all the shareholders and ensure that really all of you stay safe and secure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.